This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Baruchim Abayim. Thanks for bearing with us. Welcome to the Kala Agada Pirka of Kew Garden Hills. Thanks, everyone, for joining. We begin our new series, Ala Torah, Tavshin Pei Beis, B'siyata D'Shmaya, Ve'ezras, Tzureinu, V'gayalenu. We have the Mar Mekoymas that are up. Be'ezras Hashem, we hope B'siyata D'Shmaya, at the end of the week, that the new Sefer on Bereishis should be available. Rav Yisrael, is there a way to mute the participants on the phone? Okay, and if everyone would kindly mute themselves on the Zoom. Thank you very much. Okay.
All participants are now muted.
Okay. We're going to begin today's shiur discussing a interesting personality, which one would not expect that would be relevant to Parshas Noach, and yet we're going to see this individual is a central character of Parshas Noach. The Gemara says in Brachos, Tazayin Mabez, it's the Mishnah, Perek Bez, Mishnah Zayin. Uchshemeis Tavi Avdai. When Tavi, the servant of Rabbi Gamliel, passed away, Kibel Alav Tanchumen. Rabbi Gamliel accepted consolation. It is known that Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, had a slave who was quite learned. His name was Tavi. And Rav Gamliel accepted consolation upon the demise of Tavi. Amru loy tamidav loy limad tanu rabbeinu. Didn't you teach us, Rabbi? Shein mekam tanchumen al avadim. You don't accept tanchumen on a slave. Number one, they're not Jewish. Number two, they're not related to you. Amar Elohim, ein Tavi avdi kashar kol avadim. Tavi, my servant, is not like other slaves. Kosher haya. He's kosher. Which is a bit of an unusual expression. What do you mean he's kosher? Hey, what are you having for supper tonight? I went to the store, I got a new dish. What is it called? It's called Tavi. What do you mean Tavi's kosher? So of course we know it means he's kosher. But why that expression? Why the expression? We could say he's a ne'eman. You could say he's a meyuchas. What do you mean kosher? So one thing we know about this slave Tavi is he's kosher. Number two. The Gemara in Sukkah, Chafa Mebeis, Hayashin Tachas Hamita B'Sukkah L'Yotzei Chavase. If you sleep under a bed in a Sukkah, you're not Yotzei Yochiv. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Noyagin Hayinu, we were accustomed, Shayinu Yishenim Tachas Hamita, that we slept under the bed, Mepnei Hazakenim. V'Amru Amru Lanu Davar, nobody ever said boo to us. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon said, Maisa B'Tavi Avdoi Shoram Gamliel. There's a story about Tavi, the slave of Gamliel. Shahaya Yashin Tachas Hamita. He slept under the bed. V'amr l'hen Ram Gamliel. Ram Gamliel said, "Lezakenim, Reisim Tavid Avdi. You see, Tavid my slave. Shu Tamid Chacham. Not only is he a kosher, he's a Torah sage. V'yodeya. He knows Shavadim Tumin Asuka that slaves are potter. Therefore, Lefikach Yashinu Tachas Hamita. Therefore, he sleeps under the bed." So, meaning Ram Gamliel is saying that Tavi did well by sleeping under the bed. Why? Because since he's not chayv in sukkah, so he wanted to make room for those who were, and under the bed, you're not yoytze. Lefi darkenu lamadnu, says the Mishnah, in accordance with our path, we learn shayosh and alasamita, layotze de chayvasai. By the way, that Tosis points out that he only went under the bed when the zakenim were there, when the zakenim left. Tavi made sure to stay in the sukkah. So we know another thing about this Tavi. Not only was he a kasher, he's a Talmud Chacham. Furthermore, he likes to sit in the sukkah. He likes to hang out in the sukkah. Why does Tavi like to hang out in the sukkah? It's interesting. Why is Tavi hanging out in the sukkah? A third thing we find in the Mechilta, Mikan Omru, HaKol Chayovim B'Talmud Torah. Everyone's obligated to learn. Chutz minashim avadim, except for women and slaves. Michal bas kushi hoysamanachas tefillin. Michal wore tefillin. By the way, are women obligated to wear tefillin? No. It's mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Are women allowed to wear tefillin? Absolutely not. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Say, but what do you mean? Micha wore tefillin. Rashi's daughter wore tefillin. Yeah, that was before the Shulchan Aruch. But it was then paskind in the book of law that women are not allowed to. Not only are they exempt, they're not permitted to. It's a sin for a woman to wear tefillin. Who says? Rabbi Joseph, the Rama. Why? That's the discussion of the Mishnah Brura and the Aruch HaShulchan. They both agree you're not allowed to. Why they're not allowed to? That's the machloikis, that's beyond the scope of this year. But women are not permitted to wear tefillin. Anyway, ishtoi shel Yonah sa oilo l'ragam. The wife of Yonah was other regal. Tavi avdoi sharon gamlil hayamaniach tefillin. Tavi wore tefillin. So he's a kosher. He's a Talmud Chacham. He likes the mitzvah of sukkah. He likes the mitzvah of tefillin. So you say, what do you mean? Maybe he didn't do correctly by wearing tefillin. Just because he did it, people do a lot of things. Says the Yerushalmi in Erevin, Tavi Eved Ram Gamliel hayanoisein tefillin v'leimichu biyadei chachamim. Tavi, the Eved Ram Gamliel, would put on tefillin and the rabbis did not protest. In fact, the Yerushalmi in Sukkah says, Tani Tavi Eved Ram Gamliel hayanoisein tefillin v'leimichu biyadei chachamim. He wanted to hear the words of the rabbis. Okay, so this Tavi, interestingly, he's a kosher, he's a sage, he sits in the sukkah, he wears tefillin. Says the Medrash in Mishlei, Rabbi Lezer ben Azar said, woe to Kenan. They're all cursed. Rabbi Gamliel says, don't mess with Tavi. Bedinhu shehe Tavi yoshev ani mishamshar. Really? I should be serving him. He should sit and I should serve him. So not only was he a sage, Rav Gamliel says he was a greater sage than him. So he wasn't just a regular LOR, local Orthodox, or LOS, local Orthodox slave. He wasn't even an LOR, local Orthodox rabbi. He wasn't even an LOT, local Orthodox Tana. He was greater than Tanoim. What else do we know about Tavi? So you say, what does this have to do with Parshas Noach? Well, you gotta be patient. The Gemara in Baba Kama says, "Ma'aseh Rav Gamliel shesimas in Tavi Avdei." Rav Gamliel blinded his eye, knocked his eye out. Not only did Rav Gamliel blind his eye, "V'hayah sameach simcha gedoyla." Rav Gamliel had great joy. Matzor leRabbi Yeshua, he found Rabbi Yeshua. Amalei yato yadei shetavi Avdei yotzer cheres. You heard? Here's the Ma'aseh. Tavi went free. Amalei lama. Rabbi Yeshua said, why? Amalei shesimaz shesamisiz enai. I blinded his eye. Rabbi Yeshua says, he doesn't go free. Ein bedvarech hakum. We don't believe you. Why? We have no edim. And an eved goes free when you knock out his eye as a knas, and moideh beknas is pater. So bad job, Rav Gamliel. He doesn't go free. Because we only know that his eye is knocked out from you, but we can't trust you. Because moideh beknas is pater. So now we learned that Rav Gamliel knocked out Tavi's eye. Wow, what a unusual combination of biographical information we have. Tavi was a kosher. Tavi was a Talmud Chacham. Tavi sat in the sukkah. Tavi wore a tefillin. Tavi was the greater than the Tanoim. Tavi had his eye blinded. Who is Tavi? Comes Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai, the great Chida. Tavi, the slave of Rav Gamliel, drum roll please, was the Gilgal of Chum. He was the Gilgal of Chum. He was the good of Chum. He's the Toiv of Chum. He's called Tavi. Now, where does this come from? The Gematria of Tavi is 21. Im HaKoylel is 22. Namely, What's that? That's the final chaf. Tavi is a chaf. Why? Excuse me. Tavi is gematria. Excuse me. Tes is 9. Vez is 2. That's 11. Yud is 21. Vehu chaf ima koilel. The letter chaf ima koilel is 21. In other words, the letter chaf is 20, and with the letter itself is 21. So basically, tavi is a chaf. So how's that? Let's explain. Cham is just missing. Cham is a bad guy. Cham did not act properly. He's just missing one little thing. He's missing the tavi. He's missing the letter chaf. If you stick the chaf into cham, you get chacham. That's why tavi was a Talmud chacham. Cham is missing the chaf. Tavi is the ois chaf. Tavi is 21, the ois chaf is 21. And if you stick the chaf into cham, you get chacham. In fact, the Arizal in the Shar HaGilgulim, as well as in Likutei Torah, he says, Lachin min cham ben noyach yotza tavi avdoi sham gamliel. Lachin ikur tavi al shem shuhu mibchinas hatoiv shahois adam reves bara. So even though cham looks like a bad guy, and he did a bad thing, nevertheless, there was a good spark in him. That was Tavi. And he was missing the Chaf. And that was sort of came to fruition through Tavi, Avdoi Sharam Gamliel. So you say, wow, if Cham was Tavi, then if Tavi is Cham, who's Ram Gamliel? Interestingly, In Noach, it says, Vayoymer Arur Kinoan, Eved Avadim Yele Echav. Cursed is Kinoan. A slave of slaves, he'll be to his brothers, says the Ramami Pano and Gilgulei Neshamois. Rabban Gamliel is Shemen Ever. Ram Gamliel is Shemen Ever. And his slave is Tavi, is Chum, and he is Eved Avadim Yele Echav. So here's the question. How was it fulfilled that Cham would be an Eved Avadim to his brothers when Cham, Tavi, was a slave to his brothers, Shem and Aver, Rav and Gamliel? So the Mefarshim on the Ramami Pano says, wait a second, God never cursed Cham that he would be an Eved. God cursed Kenan. Kenan was the fourth son of Cham. So how do you reconcile that? Look at number 13 in Gugulei Neshamais. Cham hu tavi avdei shom gamliel, v'zeh tikunai. This is this tikun. V'misvar katan oyle cham kamay tavi. Cham and tavi have the same misvar katan. How's that? Ches and mem is 12. In other words, ches is 4. Mem is ches is 8. Mem is 4, that's 12. And tavi is 11. How's that? Tavi 9, 11, 12. They're both 12. B'mispar katan. V'yadua ki cham eved avadim. Amr Rashi, harbei avadim haya l'cham avi kenan. D'roi lismech k'tavi avdoi sham gamliel. The Medrash says that there are many avadim, cham, the father of Kenan had, that are worthy for smicha like tavi. Now, here's the question. The question again is, how could we say that when Hashem said, Arur Kanan Eved Avadim Yu La'achiv, that was fulfilled in Tavi, but that was a curse to Kanan, and Tavi was the Gilgal of Cham, not the Gilgal of Kanan. So again, how do you reconcile what the Ramami Pano is saying? The Ramami Pano says that Cham was the Eved Avadim Le'echav through Tavi, but Hashem did not tell Cham Eved Avadim Yeh Le'achiv. Hashem told Kenan that. So if Tavi was the Gilgal of Cham, then how is that a fulfillment of Eved Avodim Yiyeh Le'echav, but Tavi was not connected to Kinan, Tavi was connected to Cham. So look at this Gemara in Masechta Yuma. The Gemara says, Ashrein letzadikim, loy dayin shein zoichen. Fortunate are the righteous. It's not enough that they're zoiche, ela shemazakin levneim atzev kaladaris, they're mazake, their children, grandchildren, until the end of all generations. Shekama banim hoyolay la'aroin. Sharuyin li sarv kenadav avio. Many children Aaron had that were worthy to be consumed, like kenadav avio, shenemar hanoi sarim, ela shamal lem zchus avim. Kanan had many children, Sheru'i and Lismach, that were worthy for smicha. Kanan had many children that were worthy for smicha, kitavi avde shon gamliel. Like tavi, ela shechoy vasavim garmalahem. So what we see from this Gemara is not only was Tavi a Gilgal of Cham, but Tavi was a descendant of Kanan. This Gemara is saying that Tavi is a descendant of Kanan. And since Tavi is a descendant of Kanan, when God promised Kanan, or Kanan, Eved Avodim Yiyeh Le'echav, that was fulfilled in Tavi. What do you mean? But Tavi is the Gilgal of Cham, what does he have to do with Canaan? We see from this Gemara, this is suggested by Megadim Chadashim. He says, "V'yesh lahoysef neifach b'zeh dinei begulgulei neshama." So the Rama, he writes that when Gamliel had the neshama of Shem ve'Ever, and furthermore, he says, even though you could ask that this pasuk Eved Avodim was said about the fourth son of Canaan, nevertheless, Tavi was Mizera Canaan, as we see in the Gemara in Yuma. Now we have to understand, why then did Ram Gamliel knock out the eye of Tavi? We understand he wanted him to go free, but why did he dafka knock out the eye of Tavi? And the Ben Yehoyada Masechta Bava Kama says something astounding. He says that, according to the Chida and the Dvash Lafi, that Tavi was the Gilgal of Cham, and he was the good of Cham. Now, what was the Avera of Cham? Let's try to understand for a moment. What was the Avera of Cham? The Avera of Cham, Vayar Cham. Cham saw. Vayar Cham, Avi Kenan, es Ervas Aviv. Cham saw. Vayage l'shnei achav mibachot, and he told his two brothers outside. And the brothers, on the other hand, they were praised Beriah. It says, Vayechasmus Arvazim Vnei Achrezar Loi Ra'u. So Cham sinned Beriah. Cham looked indecently at his father, but Shem and Yafes were careful not to look. Therefore, the Hashgach El Yoina had it, and Gamliel would blind the eye of Tavi as a tikkun for the chet of Cham, who Vayar Cham Avi Kenan Eser Vasaviv. Now we understand why he blinded his eye. He blinded his eye because the sin of Cham was Vayar Cham Avi Kenan Eis Ervas Aviv. Now, let's try to understand, though, now that we understand, based on this Ben Yehoyada, why Ram Gamliel knocked out the eye of Tavi, let's all try to understand why was Tavi specifically makbid in the mitzvah of Tefillin and in the mitzvah of Sukkah. Because we know there's a concept that there are 613 mitzvahs. It says in the end of Makos, Chav Gimel Beis, Darash Rab Samloi Shesh Meos Vishalish Esri Mitzvah Namrulai Lamosha Shloish Meos Vashisha Machamesh Lavin Kaminyan Yamaisachama Umasaim Varbam Mushmaina Asei Keneged Evarim Sha'adam. We know we have 365 mitzvahs, Kaminyan the days of the year, and 248 mitzvahs, asay keneged evarav shel adam. And the Marsha says that all the 248 evarim are keneged the mitzvahs asay. The lev is keneged emuna, anoichi Hashem aleikecha, because emuna is the source of all the mitzvahs, and the lev is the mishkan of the whole body. It's the makar of all reish mem ches mitzvahs asay. So from this Marsha we see a great principle that each one of the mitzvos of the Torah correspond to a different limb of a person. And therefore, emuna, which is the heart of all the mitzvos, corresponds to the lev. Interestingly, it says in Vayikra Rabbah, Bezois Yavai Aaron, that if a person did bundles of averos, you should do corresponding to them bundles of mitzvos. If you're arrogant with your eyes, put on tefillin. If you spoke falsehood, teach Torah. You spilled blood, you should. Uksharatam la'ois al yadecha. Lev cheresh machshavos oven. You should think Torah. So from here we see the tikkun for the einayim is tefillin. Tefillin is the tikkun for the einayim. By the way, in the Sefer Emek Bracha, he enjoins us to remember that the two tefillin correspond to the two agents of sin. One is in the eyes, and one is the heart. Therefore, we put tefillin on the eyes in order to be machnia the eyes. Says the Sefer Megadim Chadashim, now we understand why Tavi was careful to wear tefillin. Because as a tikkun for Vayar, as a tikkun for his eyes, he, Davka, wore tefillin. Even though he was putter from tefillin, since tefillin is a tikkun for the einayim, and he sullied his eyes by looking indecently at his father, therefore he was specifically zahir in the mitzvah of tefillin. By the way, in the Sefer Ezer Eliyahu of Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir, he says an amazing thing. He says, in tefillin, there's a shin of three heads and four heads, right? We know that the shin on the tefillin shel rosh has a three-headed shin and a four-headed shin. And he says, I have a tradition from the great Mekovel Rav David Chavilyo. The reason why we have a four-letter shin, four-headed shin, it's a remez to the satan of Kedusha. There are two satans. Even though we tend to think we only have one satan of Tumah and a satan of Kedusha, but in fact there is, even though we tend to think there's only one satan, there are two. We think there's only a satan of Tumah, there's really a satan of Tumah and Kedusha. And the proof is, the pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem ala satan. Yigar Hashem b'cha satan. Why does it say Vayomer Hashem al satan? Yigar Hashem b'cha. Why does it say Yigar b'cha Hashem ha-satan again? So you read like this: Vayomer Hashem al satan. That's not of kedusha. Yigar Hashem b'cha satan of kedusha. And this satan is marumas in the two shins. The shin of four letters. If you take out the two middle branches and you put one on top of the other, you get a final nun. And you're left with a tes. And then you have the shin of three branches is the shin, satan. Why do you wear satan on your head? You wear satan on your head to indicate that you always have to be careful, that you can't deviate for a moment because you have something looming over your head, namely the satan. The two shins on the tefillin shel rosh spell out satan. You have the two middle branches of I think the phone, Rabbi Yisrael.
Welcome to Turbo Bridge. Please enter your conference ID and press the pound key.
Okay, I don't have the code, but we'll figure that out. The reason why we have the two shins, Rabbi Yisrael.
Please enter your conference ID and press the pound key.
Rabbi Yisrael, what's the code? The telephone went out.
Code. 4909.
The conference ID 4909 is not valid.
One more time.
Conference ID and press the pound.
Yeah.
93 24 pound.
The conference is in question and answer mode. There are four parties
okay.
in the conference. This call is being recorded.
So again, we have the two shins that spell out Satan. The two middle branches of the four-headed shin is the final nun, when you put one on top of the other. It remains as a letter Tess. And then the other shin, which spells out Satan. And again, the purpose of the tefillin is to guard one's eyes. V'loy sasuru acharei levavchem yacharei einechem. It's to help guard one's eyes. And the Megadim Chadashim quotes Rab David of Tolna that Sukkah is a lashon of histaklos, that through the mitzvah of Sukkah, one is masakin the Kayach Hariyah, and it's a tikkun for all the chataim. That's why Sukkah, which is Goel Malmi Eser Mamas, Pasol, because Lo Yeshota Ba'ina. Anyway, interestingly, he says that it comes out amazing, says the Megadim Chadashim, why Tavi, the Ivet of Ram Gamliel, was Mekayim these two mitzvahs, Sukkah and Tefillin, even though he was Pater, because these two mitzvahs are Mesakein the Einayim, and we know Chum sinned, Vayar Chum, and therefore he was Mekayim these two mitzvahs, even though it says the reason he slept under the bed is not to be Marchik the Tamidim. That implies that when there were no Tamidim, he was Mekayim the mitzvah, V'loi Micha by Chachamim. Now why? To be Mesakin, the Koyach of Re'iyah. I would like to go in a bit of a different direction of, instead of saying that the reason why Tavi was Mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah, to be Mesakin his Einayim, perhaps we could say a little bit differently, that Tavi was Mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah, to be misaking a different element and a different aspect of his sin, namely, Tavi sinned bedibor. Because it doesn't just say, Vayar chum saw. It says, Vayar chum avi kanan, and Vayagid. He spoke. He talked about it. It's bad enough he went to see his father in indecent shape, but he spoke about it. So there are two chatam, Re'iyah and Dibor. Re'iyah, I would say, he was misaking by wearing the tefillin. But what about Dibor? I would say Dibor, he was misaking by the mitzvah of Sukkah. And by the way, we could say, interestingly, that the Yushalmi in Shavuos brings a little bit of a different version of the story than we have in the Gemara. We mentioned from the Gemara in Baba Kama and Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, that Ram Gamliel knocked out the eye of Tavi. However, if you look in the Yushalm, we have a little bit of a different Gersa. Maisim Gamliel, Shehipo Shein Tavi Avi. He knocked out his tooth. He went to Rabbi Yeshua. He says, Tavi Avdi Matsasi Ilashara, I figured I had to free him. So Rabbi Yeshua said, no, it doesn't work. There's no knas, only be'edim. And Maidu knas is potter. Also Yushamin Ksubas, Maizim Gamliel, Shibul Shein Tavi Avdi. So not only did he knock out his eye, according to the Yushami, he knocked out his tooth. Why did he knock out his tooth? You could say because of his sin of Dibor. Because of a sin of Dibor. Ooh. And according to that, we understand why Tavi, the Eved of Rabbi Yehoshua, the Eved of Ram Gamliel, was makbid on the mitzvah of Sukkah. We don't have to say like the Megadim Chadashim that Sukkah is a tikkun for Re'iyah, but we've already said many times there's another Avera that Sukkah is Masakin. Sukkah is Masakin Dibor. Sukkah is Masakin Lashon Hara. Look at number 27. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Titzbenim Besukkah Meiriv Lashonais. God protects in the Sukkah from the strife of language. The mitzvah of Sukkah is Machnia, the Yetzer Hara of Lashon Hara. By the way, the Gra says because the four letters of Sukkah, Samach, Vav, Chav, He, are found in all the different parts, the four parts of the mouth. The Samach is from the teeth, the Vav is from the lips, the Chav is from the gutter, the throat, the He is from the Kaf is from the palate, and the He is from the throat. And the mitzvah of Sukkah protects from improper diburim. So perhaps the reason why Tavi was makbe in the mitzvah of Sukkah, not to be mesakein re'iyah, but rather to be mesakein dibur. What was the dibur? Vayar cham avi kenan vayaged la'achiv bachutz vayaged. It was the diburim that cham violated, and that's why he needed to be to rectify that through the sukkah. Now, here's what Noifech Lefianias Daiti. Here we could add the following very interesting addition. The Medrash Rabban Vayikra brings the following story. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel Latavi Avdei. Rav Shimon Gamliel said to Tavi, Puk Zvenli Tzadu Tavi Min Shukah. Now this is not Rabban Gamliel, this is Tavi, the slave of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, did Rav Shimon Gamliel Yarshin Tavi? No, because that was the first Maramakim. Rav Gamliel was accepted Nichumim for Tavi Avdai. So Rav Shimon Gamliel told Tavi, so is this the same Tavi? This might have been a different Tavi. Or, Puk Zvinli Tzadu Tavi Min Shukah. Go catch me a good catch from the market. Nafak Zavinli Lishon. He bought him a tongue. Amalei Puk Zavinli Tzadu Bishim Min Shukah. Now go buy me a bad thing. Nafak Zavinli Lishon. He bought him a tongue. Amalei Ma'udin. What is this? A good thing's a tongue. A bad thing's a tongue. So Tavi said, Amalei Mine Tavso Umina Bishta. It's the best thing, it's the worst thing. When it's good, there's nothing better than it. When it's bad, there's nothing worse than it. It's, you know, it's like the little girl. When she's good, she's really good. When she's bad, she's really bad. That's the tongue. Interestingly, who teaches us the lesson of the tongue? Tavi the Eved. The only thing is that, wait a second. Is this the same Tavi? So the Rasha says, Nira Ditzach Lemer Rabban Gamliel. You have to say this wasn't Rab Shimon Ben Gamliel, but rather Rabban Gamliel. Because we find in many places that Tavi was the slave of Rabban Gamliel. In Sukkah, in Baba Kama, in many places. So therefore we have to change the Gersa from Rabban Gamliel from Rab Shimon Gamliel to Rabban Gamliel. So I would say that it comes out beautiful. This Tavi was not the slave of Rav Shimon Gamliel. This Tavi was the slave of Rav Gamliel himself. And that is why Tavi, in order to be mesakein his sin of Vayaged, he's now teaching us the kayach of the Lashon, which when it's good, there's nothing better than it. And when it's bad, there's really nothing worse. So we come to another amazing nekuda. And that is the Shlach HaKadosh in Parshas Lech Lecha, who's bothered, why is Eretz Yisrael called Eretz Canaan? Even after it's in our possession, we still call it the land of Canaan, even when we're living in it. It's like, so imagine if somebody would mail a letter, New York, the Confederacy, or New York, the colonies. I mean, we call the United States of America. Why would anyone call Eretz Yisrael Eretz Canaan? The Canaanim, there's a mitzvah to destroy them, to kill them. Why would we refer to, we don't call it Palestine, why would we call it Canaan? And even when Kali still lived there, and we didn't stop calling it Canaan until many years after the second Beis was standing. Here's the Soid. Listen to this. Which king commanded to build the Beis HaMikdash? Koresh, the king of Paras. And then Eretz Yisrael was Nesiash Vashenis through Persia. Why? Tavi, the Eved of Ram Gamliel, who was the Gilgal of Cham, was also the Gilgal of Koresh. So since Eretz Yisrael only became ours through Koresh, who was really Kenani, therefore we continued to call it Kenan until Koresh allowed us back into the land. Meaning the Kabbalistic secret of why we call Eretz Yisrael Eretz Kenan, we called it that until the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Arizal said, Tavi, the Eved Kenani, was the Avdoi of Ram Gamliel, was the Gilgal of Koresh. And this Soid is alluded to in the Mishnah Brachos, that Ram Gamliel said about Tavi, he's kosher. You know what he meant, he's kosher? He's Koresh. That's the secret that Tavi was kosher, that Tavi in fact was Koresh. So this Cham over here, who was missing the Chaf, if he had the Chaf, he would have been like Tavi, he would have been a Talmud Chacham. He came back as Tavi Eved Kenan. And this Eved Kenan was a kosher, namely that he was Koresh. He was a Talmud Chacham, indicating the Chaf of Tavi. And he wore tefillin to be Mesakin Re'iyah. And he sat in the sukkah, either to Mesakin Re'iyah or to Mesakin his Diburim. And ultimately, he brought Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael in the guise of Koresh, and he allowed us to enter the land. So it's quite a remarkable chain of events. And this is just a little bit of a Te'ima Ba'alma in the behind the scenes of the narratives of the Chumash that we're so familiar with. And yet the personalities and the way the Ribbono Shel Olam orchestrates that people should ultimately get their tikkun, v'layidach imenu nidach, and that everything comes full circle is only through the hashgacha yoyna of the Borei Olam. And with that, I leave you until next time, wishing everyone a wonderful day. Bracha v'atzlacha, v'kol tov. That's what he's saying. He's saying that Cham was Tavi, and then Koresh. So that does that mean Cham came back as Koresh?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some tikkun there too.
Yeah. We'll see. I might speak about that on Wednesday, actually. Okay. Kol tov, everyone. Have a... Baruch Tia, thank you. Kol Tov. Bye-bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.